All right, wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for that. Let's turn our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 9. And it's good to see you tonight. Thanks for coming along and being faithful to church this evening. And if I could just quickly speak to the men, just make sure your phones are on silent. All right, no notifications. And if you don't know what's happening, it's because of daylight savings, all right? So, I'll be watching you tonight, all right? So so no faces at me, all right? I don't know. I don't want to know if you're looking. You shouldn't be looking anyway, but it's the NRL Grand Final. Some of you can't get past that until I mention it, so I just thought I'd deal with it right from the get-go. Where's Brother Pete? Pete, your phone's on silent? All right, good. All right, just checking, you know, it's the deacons, right? So no, it's good to be here tonight, and appreciate the church's prayers over the last couple of weeks as we've traveled and just sought the Lord as far as his leading into just new areas in Australia for the need of the gospel. And and the Andersons and us, we had a great time in Geelong, and we'll tell you more about it as the month unfolds. And we're excited about what God is potentially doing over in Geelong for us as a church. And I had a couple of our newer families and newer individuals text me through the course of the week, and they said, Pastor, so sad that you're leaving, so sad that we're going to miss you. And I said, it's not me, all right? I'm not going. We're going, right, as a church. And that's really how it works with church plants is we go. And there's an opportunity there, I think, and we're excited about just giving some more details in the next couple of weeks. But I appreciate those who prayed for this morning. I certainly prayed for you, and I know that you had a great service today. But over at Hope, they had a great great crowd. It was a full house. They had several first-time guests that came along, and Brother Michael's doing a wonderful job over there. And I think that the Lord's really just blessed that work as we've planted Hope Baptist Church in Sanford. And continue to pray for them. They're certainly seeing different opportunities even into Gadden now. And I'm interested in seeing what that is going to be all about. We're going to hopefully at some point I'll head over and just see what's going on at Gadden as well. But certainly at Sanford, at Hope Baptist, continue to pray for Brother Michael, Sister Paula, and those that are there. But they've won several families now to the Lord, and I'm looking well established already 6 months into the plant. And so just pray for them. Lord willing, on the 27th of October in the morning, Hope Baptist will join us for the last Sunday of the month. It'll be our ministry market. It's going to be a great day. But that morning, Lord willing, we'll just take a little bit of time recognizing Brother Michael, and then just having some time with them in an ordination setting. And so, please be praying about that. I think it's as we consider that going forward, that's a key thing. And so, just pray for Hope Baptist. But it certainly was a joy to be there this morning. It's a joy just to see the gospel going forward. Amen. And I love that we have an opportunity right now. And by the way, church, the time is of the essence, right? We're living in days where the gospel is urgent. And so if we can just sort of supercharge into what we can do for the Lord, it's worth being courageous, taking steps of faith, and just trusting that the Lord can do it, because he certainly can. And that's the business of the hour, is the gospel. And so I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, and tonight we're going to look at a familiar story of Scripture. But, you know, we live in a day where it still is, there's great challenges for those who are blind. And I think we understand what blindness is. We note that we live in a world, even though that's still the case, that it's not that blind people have no opportunity. You know, we very much understand the disability that is. And so society is now built where even those who are blind have different opportunities. If you watch a little bit of the Paralympics, there's blind everything, right? There's blind long jump, and there's blind cricket. If you've ever seen that, it's amazing. But they have different opportunities. You know, a few years ago, we were invited over to to Virginia at Brother Skelly's place to preach a missions conference at their church, and he introduced me to the man who had started the church, Dr. Forrester, and he took us on a tour that if you ever go there, you're ever in that area, attend that church, it's an amazing church. God's doing a great work there. But the building itself, it's a little bit discombobulated. You go in there, it's like a labyrinth. You go through, and even though it should be simple, it's just so difficult to get around, to get to the auditorium, to get to the offices, to get to their fellowship hall. It's just really difficult. And he had told me that Dr. Forrester had actually designed the whole thing. And if you go there, Dr. Forrester, who pastored that church for 40 years, still to this day can take you around and take you to every nook and cranny of that place. He knows it off by heart. And you know what's amazing about that? Dr. Forrester is blind. And he's memorized it in his mind, how to get to one place to the other as if he was seeing. And sometimes you're walking with him and you're thinking, are you just pulling my leg? Because he's so accurate in where the door is, where this place is, and where that place is. He just knows that. And I'm saying that blindness, even though we understand that it's a real problem physically, we also understand that it's not as if there's things that you can't do. There's things that you still can do. And it's not impossible to live with blindness. And it's not impossible to go around, especially in our society today, and find different opportunities for blind people. You know, if down the road we've got Fellowship Baptist Church, one of their main members there, he's a deacon. He's the president of the Blind Golf Association. I didn't even know there was blind golf, right? I have trouble playing golf with two good sets of eyes, right? So it's impossible. But you imagine that, and you recognize that in our day, blind people still have opportunities. It's so contrasting to really the time in Jesus's day where we read about different blind people. And notice here, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And so no doubt that understanding of mercy that they needed, what was a heart's cry from them because of their blindness. Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And so, again, just one of the many places where Jesus, when encountering some blind people, just does the miraculous and helps them see. You know, we sort of read over those things and we understand the miracle of it, the impossibility of it. We understand that even in today's technological advances and today's opportunities and understanding of the human body, that it's still nigh impossible for those who are blind to really see again. It's still something that we don't fully understand how to reverse that. And yet Jesus here, in just his word and his touch, he's able to then reverse the condition that these people were in, these two men, and was able to reverse their blindness so that they could see again. And I think it's not lost on us this evening, the picture of that. We understand that we live very much in a world where there's great spiritual blindness. We read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You understand that the lost is very much in a spiritual way blinded. In many ways, they're blind from their birth. And by the way, if I can remind you here that tonight, prior to your salvation, you were blind. You couldn't see. There were things that you saw, perhaps even shadows of, that you didn't completely comprehend and understand because of the spiritual blindness. And the little g God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that don't believe. There's still many, many out there in different suburbs and different cities all around our great nation that have yet to understand and have yet to even know and hear. There are those in different countries all around this world. In fact, the vast majority of the population of this world don't have that opportunity like we do to hear about the gospel and the God who can heal that spiritual blindness. That's the world we live in. And yet, if we examine Scripture, you understand that there's also levels of blindness even to those who do believe. Notice with me in 2 Peter. Turn with me, 2 Peter. We'll turn to a few different places tonight and then we'll get into the message. 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. We'll read down to verse 9. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he's really speaking to believers here, isn't he? And notice what he says. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We're meant to be building on our faith. He's saying add. Right? So this whole passage here really pertains to us coming into our salvation. We're partakers of the divine nature, and because of that, we can build on that faith and add to our faith. So he's saying those who are adding to their faith are growing. Then notice what he says in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying you're going to bear fruit. You're going to understand more who Jesus is. You're going to be more like him. But notice the contrast in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, he's still speaking to believers there. But he's saying, if these things are lacking in you, if there's no building of your faith, if you've just taken for granted your salvation, and that's where you've just stopped, and you're no longer growing, you're no longer adding to your faith virtue and the rest, and there's no more adding to your faith, and you're just sort of coasting along in your Christian life, then you know what the Bible says? You're blind. You can't see afar off. You know, sometimes I wonder about those who claim the name of Christ, and you know, there's vision casts, and you want them to see something that is more, and they wonder. They can't see past the peripherals. They can't see past the current. They can't see past what the problem is. It might just be that you're no longer growing. And you know what I liken that to? It's a lack of health. That you're not taking care of your sight life. And we understand the Bible tells us that we ought to walk by faith, not by sight. So we're speaking here about spiritual sight, which is really faith. So how are you taking care of your faith life? You know, if you take care of your faith life, you'll be able to see afar. You'll be able to look beyond. You won't just be blind, is what the Bible terms you to be. And, you know, I remember, and you won't see it right now, but I'm not wearing glasses. So occasionally I will. But I remember when I was 16, and suddenly the board looked a little bit fuzzy, and suddenly it was really hard. I was getting headaches when I was in class, and it just seemed to be that it happened more and more. So my parents finally said, hey, you know, you better go to an optometrist and get your eyes checked. And I got my eyes checked, and guess what? I was short-sighted. So I don't wear them now. I wear something else. I wear contacts. And it corrects the vision. It corrects my sight. And there was an impairment there. And too often, what it is for the Christian is that we've impaired our vision. We've impaired our sight because we've not looked after our spiritual health, the health of our faith. We've stop growing. We've hindered that growth and we're not adding to our faith. And so you better understand that it's not just those spiritually blind that God is speaking to and likening to in our story. There are those who are spiritually blind. But notice another place. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at Revelation chapter 3, and there's a familiar church here that we're gonna look at. And notice with me verse 14. Thanks for turning there tonight. Verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And we can make several comments about that lukewarmness that seems to exude at times, that modern day Christianity, that comfortable zone, that place where you're neither cold nor hot. It's a place of comfort. It's a place where you're neither here nor there. And it's just a place of stagnancy. And notice there again, because thou sayest, so there's a perception about yourself. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The reality was this. In their lukewarmness, they were blind. In their comfort. And so he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. They found themselves in a place of comfort. We live in a world today where the world will coddle you, make you as comfortable as you can get. We're living in a world that is risk averse. And it used to be the trait of manhood that we would be willing to take risks. But that's being beaten out of our boys today. That sense of adventure, that spirit of adventure that wants to take ground rather than just stay close and stay safe. And we're living in a world that way. And you know what the Bible terms that? You're just blind. You can't see. Those who adventure out, they're the ones that see. Those who will adventure their lives for Christ, those who won't be distracted and lack the focus and get distracted by the world, those who are comfortable spiritually, those are blind. And we no longer look at the need and there's something in us that says we need to do something about that. We're good. We're okay. And that's okay. But God's warning us, don't be lukewarm. Don't be so comfortable that you're actually blind. You can't even see yourself. And he's saying there that's spiritual blindness too. And there's this distraction and there's a lack of focus. There's just a sense of safety in our story. We have two blind men. And often when you look at the scriptures, the blind are often with others. And that apt picture that we're going to see, the blind leading the blind. But they often would congregate because they're somewhat outcasts of society. They didn't live in a society like we do that helps those that are needy. They just fended for themselves. And so they found sometimes others who could just go along with them, bumble through life. And here these two blind men, the Bible says, followed him. But their lives changed. Their lives were quickly turned around. And I'm going to ask just three questions tonight that we observe really in the story. See, in our story, we have these two blind men who are following Jesus, and we don't actually know how long they've been blind, whether it was from birth or what, or what caused their blindness. The fact was they were blind. What we do know is that they sought Jesus in their blindness, and then their lives were dramatically changed to be able to see again. And the first question I want to ask is, what can cause blind men to see? What caused them? And the short answer is that Jesus, right? Then when Jesus departed, the Bible says there, two blind men followed him, and then later on we read down the passage, their eyes were opened. And I want to tell you that some of the stories that the two blind men encountered Jesus and their lives changed. And by the way, that's so often the result of a real encounter with Jesus. That is the result of a real encounter with Jesus. When you encounter the real Jesus, your eyes are open to the truth. Your eyes are open to light. Your eyes are suddenly open to the reality of sight. And notice, though, what led them to him. Because it wasn't that they just followed him. There was a cause. There was a reason these blind men were able to come to Jesus. And what caused them, these blind men, to see? And firstly, notice verse 26. Because there was already a healing that had come to be. And as a result of the healing of a ruler's daughter, notice verse 26, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. You know, there was some noise about Jesus. There was some noise about Jesus. And here's what I'm saying. The first reason, the first cause that led these men to Jesus, then to see, was the noise of those who can already see. Hey, listen, if you're saved here tonight, then actually you can already see. And there's been a work of God in your life. Don't ever be so distant from the fact of salvation that no longer inspires you, that no longer gives you a sense of purpose and a sense of difference in your life. Too many Christians just idly go by, and they're no longer so excited about the fact that Jesus healed them. And yet, there was a noise. There was a noise of those who can already see. And I want to encourage you tonight that for those of you that have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, listen, there's some noise to make. You know, we're living in a world that wants to silence you, wants to keep you down, and wants to shout over the top of you. But listen, now's not the time for this body of believers to stay silent about who they are and what Jesus has done in their lives. We live in a day where the world will do all it can to silence the voices for Christ. But in that day, the blind were able to see because there were those who noised it abroad. There were those who were just making noise about what Jesus did. And you know, the only way that blind men can see is to hear. You understand that the crossing, right, when you press that button, it's not for you. All right, you can see the green man. You know what it's for? It's for the blind, right? That sound that's so distinct, that sound is to indicate for those blind that it's safe for them to cross. And the only way that the blind can see is through hearing. And we need to speak up. We need to noise abroad the praise of God. And listen, it shouldn't just stop at salvation. Christians should be talking about how good God is. Listen, today was a miracle. Today. What happened with me today? I woke up. Man, I wanted to sleep more, but I woke up. And guess what? I still had a beat in my heart. I still had oxygen in my lungs. I still had the faculty of my mind. I still had somewhat my health. And guess what? I got to do what I got to do for God. And listen, there's so much that happens every day. Some of you need to just get a little excited about your Jesus. And hey, listen, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to tell the world how good your life is in Christ. And listen, it's not perfect. There's troubles. But listen, we can buy into the spirit of this age, and all we can talk about is the troubles. And how are they who are blind going to see if God's people won't speak up? See, the Bible tells us in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible tells us in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, there's still the Lord Jesus reading that out prophetically of him. There's still a message to proclaim. There's still news to tell. There's still a Savior to praise about. Hey, listen, there's still one that we can rejoice in. There's still truth to proclaim. And by the way, that preaching was to the recovering of sight to the blind. And so many times we go around and we want to sort of silently and sort of, you know, inadvertently speak Jesus. Well, listen, some of us just need to get some boldness in our workplaces and some boldness in our school places, and we need to just have a little bit of courage, because the reality is Jesus is real. And he's real. And the work of God is real. And so the noise of those who can already see, but there was a seeking of the one that they had heard of. And again, the two blind men followed him crying. How did they know to follow him? There were others who were following. But what they were speaking about was true and right. And by the way, you know, our message isn't really about anyone else. You know, I'm glad for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I'm glad that we somewhat we have a name in the community. But listen, the name that should be on our lips is the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, but we preach Christ. Tim. And too many times we can get distracted with our message. And yes, we should stand up for truth. And yes, when opportunities come, and we can vote right, and we can stand upright, and when we can cry out to the wrongs of society, we ought to. But listen, it shouldn't be so far off that we can't speak the name of Jesus, and we can't say, hey, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Listen, we preach Christ crucified. That's the message. And I'm glad that these people who were noising abroad into all that land, they were accurate enough in what they were saying that the men understood who they needed to seek. They weren't. Notice verse 27. They said, following, crying, and saying, notice, thou son of David, have mercy on us. You know, they weren't looking for the disciples. They weren't crying out to the group in just generalities. They cried specifically about the son of David. And I'm so glad that their message was so clear in whom their subject was, Jesus. And I hope that our communication is clear enough that people know who we're about. That we're about Jesus. We're about him. We're about his saving message, his saving sacrifice, and we're about the Savior. And that title that they gave, it's prevalent right through the book of Matthew in this Jewish book. It speaks about his title as that kingly lineage, that inheritor of David's throne, that one that was the true king, and his position then as the promised deliverer. It was a messianic title. And they understood from the crying out of others that they were to cry out to Jesus. And listen, we can highlight so many things. We can highlight ourselves. We can highlight the church. And in some ways, that's not a problem. We ought to, at times, win people to ourselves first before we can tell them about Jesus. But I hope they understand what we're about. I hope that when it comes down to it, they understand why we're different and who it is that has made a difference in our lives. And the message of those who could see was clear. You need the one that the scriptures have foretold. And the blind men were actually, in all of the crying out of others, were pointed to the scripture. You know, you could so easily fall into taglines, and you could so easily fall into slogans, and you could so easily... But listen, our message should be full of the scriptures. Our message should be grounded on the very words of God that foretold and then foretells about the one, Jesus. And the blind could see. What caused them to see was that those who could see, they made some noise. And then the seeking of the one that they had heard of, but then obviously the belief in whom it was that they were hearing about. Because eventually, in verse 28, notice there, it says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Notice that, belief. They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." And then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." There was a belief. They had heard enough about Jesus. They had heard accurately enough about Jesus that they knew who it was that they needed to believe in. You know, there's many who believe in good. There's many who would believe in church. But actually, the only one that'll reverse their spiritual condition is just hearing about Jesus. It's just understanding who he is. And Jesus is able to save those who believe. And notice that then he touched their eyes. And Jesus' touch is powerful. You know, another part of scripture, another part of the Gospels where Jesus spoke to a blind man and he asked him, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see men as trees walking." He didn't quite actually see. And then Jesus touched him again. You know, I think sometimes the spiritual blindness happens within those that have already been touched. They somewhat see in shadows, and they see some, and they might not quite see. And I think they're those who are already they're believers, but maybe the reality of life, maybe the troubles of life, maybe the circumstances of life have muddied their sight. Maybe the disappointments, maybe the discouragements. And here's what I'm saying. God's touch is powerful enough that he can clarify your sight tonight. Some of you need another touch of God. Some of you need to be touched again. And for God to for you to come to him in belief, come to him in contrition, come to him in just absolute need and say, "Lord, touch me again. Lord, help me see so that I can see clearly, so I could have a vision for what it is that I'm supposed to do for you." And Jesus' only requirement for those who are blind is to come to him in faith. You know, many who I see in my observation, they're bumbling through life. They've had a time where they could see. But maybe that health hasn't been taken care of. Maybe they've just become growing too comfortable and now they're just blind. Not blind like they were before, but they're blind. And God just needs, you need to just come to the Lord again and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I come in faith. I need to see life the way you would have me to." And I want to tell you tonight that if two blind men in that time can see, then actually there's more out there who, if we spoke loudly enough and accurately enough, they would come to Jesus too. You know, the Bible tells us not to hide our light. You know, that whole image isn't just about sight. That whole image is about influence. That whole image is meant to depict for us how it is that we're supposed to live our lives. We're not meant to hide our light. Hey, listen. Don't walk around thinking that's just for the missionaries. No, that's for all of us. We're to be salt and light. Hey, listen, you have a neighborhood, you're a missionary. You have a school, you're a missionary. You go to work, you're a missionary. Listen, all of us here, we're supposed to speak up about Jesus, and we're supposed to have a message clear, and we're supposed to then lead them to the one who can change their lives. And I want to encourage you as we go into the week, if two blind men can see, then we have others who can see, who we can cause to see also. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight. Lord, just to learn a few lessons from these two blind men that you dealt with, that, Lord, in your power and your power alone, their blindness was reversed. Their blindness became sight. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us a passion, Lord God, as those who can see, to just noise abroad, to noise the fame of you, to noise the reality of you, to noise the Jesus in the scriptures, to noise, dear God, the reality of what you've done in our lives. Help us, dear God, this week to just recognize those who are around us who are spiritually blind. And perhaps maybe even tonight, those of your people who just need a touch again. Those who just need your hand to awaken their faith, to awaken their sight again, their vision for you. And I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to have that clarity. Lord, please help us as we head into the week. I pray for your blessings upon each one. And help us, Lord, this week to see you in Jesus' most precious name.